1 Peter, we're on our penultimate sermon. The next one will be in 2 weeks' time when we celebrate 100 years of our armed forces giving their life. And we're going to be talking then about facing the enemy face to face and overcoming. And that will be in the last part of Peter. This week we're talking about, and we're missing the first four verses, I'll make reference to them in a minute, because that's talking to pastors and leaders and elders of churches, which I'll make reference to in a minute. But we're going to start from verse 5 in a minute. And the message today is really a message that Peter gives to bring relief to Christians. To Christians who find themselves in a society where you have to perform well, you have to be achieving, you have to be successful, you have to be earning money in order to be a person. And Peter shows us as a Christian what really true success is about, what it is to be peaceful in our life, to live a life of contentment as a Christian in a world that gives a message to us where it's all about fame, it's all about how we look, it's all about what we can do with our life. And it's a countercultural message that Peter gives. The gospel message is a countercultural message. We don't tune into what the world says, we tune into what God says. And the problem is quite often we're listening to what the world says all the time and the news in the newspapers. And we've got to learn, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today, of tuning out what the world says and tuning into what God says. Because it's only when we have and hear what God says and take this teaching that Peter so wonderfully gives us today that we will be content in life. And so this is a message that Peter gives to the people in that day and to us about that brings relief. You see, I think it would be fair to say today that our society pushes the pursuit of success, getting ahead of everybody else, getting that promotion. There is only one direction that we can go, and that should be up. That is the message of the world. The world tells us that to be satisfied in life, we need to make money. Society persuades us that we need fame. Culture tries to tell us that we need influence and give the orders. And if we're doing those things, we're successful in life. And if none of those things happen, none of these big three, the real secret in life is self-indulgence. Esther and I went shopping the other day, Esther was just telling me how she was just watching people just filling the conveyor belt with stuff. Self-indulgence. Filling our wants, filling our desires, filling our pleasures. And the world's measures are work hard. Work harder than everybody else and you'll be successful. In the environment I was in as a finance manager, IT manager in finance, it was all about work harder than everybody else and you'll be very successful in life. Work, work, work. Let me have more than the pound of flesh. You work every hour of the day and you'll be more successful than everybody else. I've been there. I know this is the truth. It means push ahead. Step on other people. If they get in the way, move them out of the way. Doesn't matter how you treat them, as long as you get on in life. I worked in a society, in an organisation like that. It doesn't matter how you get to the top, as long as you do. That's the most important thing. Promote yourself, even if it means exaggerating a bit. Even if it means putting other people down to get there. That is what the world's system is about. And the irony is, the more success we have, the more we have, the more we want. This is the truth that the world's message is. The more we have, the better car. We want a better car. The bigger house, the better job, the better paid job. The nicer things in life. We have them and now we want the next best thing. Instead of fulfillment, we will experience disappointment and let down in life. This is the truth. We will never find fulfillment in what the world's message is about. Today, the countercultural message of humility is neither popular, it's not appreciated, and it's certainly not wanted. At a time when looking good is considered more important than being good. How many of these pop star ladies do we follow, or do people follow in the newspaper, what they looked like 20 years ago and 15 years ago and 10 years ago and 5 years ago? It's all about what they look like, not what kind of person they are. When superficial impressions make a bigger splash than integrity. How many times do we read in the paper, this is a person of integrity? We find a superficial thing and everything's blown up about that. Who has time for such things as submission, dependence and trust? Where have those things gone? Peter talks about this. And Peter outlines in three verses a message that brings relief for us as Christians from this. So in the first four verses, Peter writes to the pastor elders of the church, the men in those days that were set apart to care and to love the sheep, to be servant leaders, to serve the flock, not to lord it over them. Peter uses this term about lording over the sheep. And he encourages the pastors and the elders not to be like that, but to be Christ-like, to be a servant leader, to be a servant that is full of humility. And Peter has talked to the leaders and he's saying, church leaders, and those of us that are church leaders, we need to understand what Peter says here, the way we lead. It's an important principle that all church leaders should take hold of. And then Peter turns what it says to the younger men. We're going to look at that in a minute. And he uses this word, this adverb, likewise. So let's put the scripture up. Likewise is in the same way. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Can we say that last word? Because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, the term younger in the English term is new or young. Very simple, isn't it? In the English dictionary. In the New Testament, it had a slightly different meaning. In the New Testament, the most common use of the term is something new as opposed to something that is old. It can refer to someone who is physically youthful in contrast to someone who is more mature. So it could be like my son is is younger than his father, which you would expect. To someone that is more mature, to someone that would give advice, but to someone that should be someone of a godly example to my son. It's used once in Colossians chapter 3 in this way: when we have a new identity in Jesus Christ after salvation. Have we got that one? And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of the Creator. So here, when we give our life to Jesus, we put on something new, younger, new, our new self as we follow Jesus. In the book of Acts, it also refers to those under authority of leaders. Now, I'm glad that I wasn't there in that day, in the day of the apostles, although sometimes I wish I was, but not in this case. So if we look in Acts, we find the young men came forward, wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. This is the Ananias and Sapphira story, where they lied to the Holy Spirit and the young men were told, come and take his body and bury him. But it also refers, really, the key to understand this comes from Jesus' own words. And the key to this is found in verses 1 to 4. And you'll remember that Jesus spent a long time with his disciples. Peter was one of the disciples. And Jesus' own words in Luke 22, and this is where Peter takes this from, is the King of Gentiles lord it over them, but this is not the way with you. This is not the way with you. But the one who is greatest among you must become the youngest, and the leader like a servant. And Peter brings instructions to the newer believers in verse 5 to 7. We're looking at these three verses. This is for newer believers in Christ. If you're a young believer in Christ, this is important to you. But it's actually for all believers in Christ. Peter exhorts believers in Christ to submit to elders' authority. Now, a lot of people today don't want to submit. They want to do what they want, how they want, where they want, when they want. It's my prerogative, it's my right. Well, when you become a Christian, you lay down your rights. Let me just say to you, when you become a Christian, if anybody tells you everything is going to be easy and there are going to be no problems and you can just do what you want, it was wrong. When we become a Christian, we submit to the Lord. We submit to his order. And Peter instructs the believers to clothe themselves with humility. I found this a really interesting statement. Clothe yourself with... Well, what does that look like then, Lord? How can I clothe myself with humility? Do I wear a t-shirt with, Lord, I'm so humble today? Does that mean I clothe myself in humility? Or my dad's favourite song, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I might get him that t-shirt that has that. It literally means to tie or put something on oneself. To tie or put something on oneself. It refers to putting on a slave's apron. So when Peter was talking about that, the picture that they would have got is somebody wearing an apron that a slave would wear. Now, you remember that Peter was with Jesus. We went on the upper room, didn't we, together? Remember the upper room in Israel? And Jesus is there in the upper room with the disciples, and no one is going to wash each other's feet, but Jesus does. Now, Jesus is the greatest leader ever. If ever we want to model on a leader, he's the person we model. The greatest leader, but he put on humility. He clothed himself with humility. You remember that he tied around him a towel, and he washed the feet. The one that was spiritually mature came to the ones that were spiritually younger and set a godly example to them. He set an amazing godly example to these men that were going to change the world, that to be great, you must become the least. And Jesus, in a sense, he clothes himself with this apron, this servant's apron, which they would have recognized. And why Peter said, no, Jesus, you never, never, never wash my feet. But now Peter understands what Jesus has said. And he's teaching the church. And so Jesus, if you would say, what does Jesus look like? Jesus looked like a servant. What was Jesus like? A servant. He didn't lord it over his disciples. He didn't tell them, do this, do that, do the other. I'm the King of Kings. He showed them by godly living a godly example. We're going to come back to that in a minute. This is what it means to be clothed with humility. And so Peter calls the younger believers in the faith, under the authorities of the elders, to listen to the counsel, to be open to their guiding, to watch their lives and follow their good examples, and to accept their decisions. I have to say, in this generation that we live in, there are many people today that refuse to ask for godly advice. They'll say, well, I'm going to do it this way. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong, I'm just going to do it. And whatever the consequences are, it doesn't really matter, but I'm just going to do it. And when we become Christians in our life, we can continue in that pattern if we're not careful. And there are reasons that people in their Christian life have gone through things in their life, and the reasons why you're going through things right now in your life is that God is teaching you to trust him and to know him, to know his power. And when we go to older people in the faith, we should go to them in all things in our life and to ask them advice. The trouble is, sometimes people ask for advice, but they will not take it. And what Peter says is, take the advice of godly people who have lived the life, know what it means, and do what they say. Submit yourself to it, and you'll be happy in life. How many people have you given advice to and they've done completely the opposite? And you watch them and you think, oh my goodness, what on earth is going to happen? You just watch the whole story unfold, and you say to yourself, if only they had... I want to encourage you, in the small decisions in life, in the big decisions in life, find somebody more mature than you in Christ and talk to them about them before you make decisions. Ask them to pray with you. Say to them, what would you think we should do in that situation? Don't make bad decisions. Because when you make a bad decision, the consequences can last you for the rest of your life. And some people we think, oh, it's not a big problem. But it turns into a big problem. So, let's look at 1 Peter 5, verse 5. God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. In Psalm 138, verse 6, it says, though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Proverbs 3:34, he mocks proud mockers, but shows favour to the humble and the oppressed. Matthew 23:12, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. I would like you to tell somebody near you and just read that scripture to them. So just find somebody close to you and just tell them that scripture and let them talk. You tell them and let them tell you, okay? Just for a minute. This is a scripture that not everybody likes to learn, but it's a scripture that will keep us in the right place. If we learn this scripture and we apply it to our life and remind ourselves in our life, it will help us greatly. James 4 verse 6 says, this is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Our God is a just God and a righteous God. And I believe, you can believe with me or not, but this is what I believe, God will humble the proud and he will promote the humble. God will humble the proud and he will promote the humble. If you are full of pride, do not be surprised if God humbles you. Pride is one of the worst things, especially in men, that stops us being the man of God that God wants us to be. For men, there it's sex, money and pride. In case, ladies, you didn't know those things. Pride rears its ugly head. We'll talk about that in a minute. So the first words of counsel for those who want to find genuine satisfaction, true success, is to submit yourselves to those who model, listen carefully, servant leadership. To those who model servant leadership. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. There are two parts to that verse. The first is humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand. The second part is that he may lift you up in due time. Peter said to experience true success is to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. What does that mean? What does humbling ourselves under God's almighty hand mean? It means accepting whatever, can you say the word whatever? Whatever comes our way, whether good or bad. Accepting whatever comes our way, whether good or bad. Through the highs, through the lows, through the smooth road and the bumpy road, We are to allow God, listen very carefully, to orchestrate things at his pace in his time. We are to allow God to orchestrate things at his pace and his time. I struggle with that. I want everything to happen yesterday. It's the way I was brought up, isn't it? In the job situation I found myself in for many years. I can make things happen. If I want to, I can make things happen. But it's allowing God to orchestrate it in his time. Because his time is always the right time. Only in this way will the promise of 1 Peter 5 verse 6, that he may lift you up in due time. So let's use an example. This is not an example of anybody in the church. It's not an example of anybody here. But I want to use this example to help us to think. I want you to think at the moment you are a very talented musician. That you have been gifted by God, that you can play a harp, maybe. I don't know. Might be good for the illustration of the person I'm going to talk about, if you can guess who it is. And you have been given these songs by the Lord, and you are playing these songs and writing these wonderful songs for the Lord. And yet, in the Christian music world, you are unknown. Nobody knows your name. But what you are doing is writing these songs for the Lord, and you're thinking, God, how can I get these songs out into the world that it might bless others and bring glory to your name? After all, it's a talent God's given us, so therefore we should use it, right? So how hard do we push? How hard do we promote ourselves? What does it mean then to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand? Well, let's look at David. This little shepherd boy, looking after sheep, he writes psalms to his audience of bleating sheep. He sings his praise and glory to sheep, not knowing that he's going to affect millions and millions of Christians 2,000 years later. He doesn't know what he's doing. All he's doing is bringing glory to God in that situation where he is right now, where he finds himself looking after sheep. Even his dad doesn't think he's that great. He didn't pursue fortune and glory with his music. And at the right time, God's time, because of this young lad's humility, God exalted David to a place that he could never have reached himself. He would never have been able to attain that. He would never be able to become the king of Israel. He'd have never been able to become the wealthiest king in the whole of that known world himself. Impossible. He could have gone to the local Jerusalem Songs of Praise evening and got his harp out and said, "Look, everybody, listen to these songs I've got. You know, this will be the Jerusalem hits." That's what he would have attained. He probably ever would have attained would be looking after sheep. But because of his humility, because he allowed God to raise him up at due time, he became the greatest king, apart from Jesus, ever. In your situation you find yourself in today, you may say to yourself, How do I promote myself in my work situation? How do I better myself? How do I do all these things? How can I earn more money? How can I, whatever the question is? This is the answer. What you need to do is in everything that you do, do it so it brings glory to God. Do it so it brings glory to God. Wear your servant's apron in whatever you find yourself doing and allow God to raise the humble and exalt you. The place he wants you to be in his time, and be patient. It's possible for you to promote yourself into something where you think, I've made it in life, I'm happy. But if you do that, it could be at the expense of what God has for you, and you could be a world changer. You know that. Doesn't matter how old you are, if you're the oldest person or the youngest person in this room, you could still change the world. If God chooses to raise you up to a position, a situation, a place that you may never been before, well, how about if God raises you up and thousands of people come into the kingdom? That could be you today, as you clothe yourself in humility. Psalm 78, verse 70. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of the people Jacob, of Israel his inheritance. I love this verse. I've decided when we have our new offices that this is going to be on my wall. So if you come and visit me in my church office, in our new church building when we have it, this is what you'll find. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. That's what I want to put on my wall. When David humbled himself under God's almighty hand, God exalted him at the proper time. I believe in prophetic words. And I believe there's prophetic words in here for people today. If you humble yourself before God, he will exalt you at the proper time. And you will do more things than you ever imagined in God, if you allow him to orchestrate that for you. We move on to verse 7, very important verse. Cast all your cares on him. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The term cast literally means to throw upon. It is a decisive action on our part. And Peter here encourages us to cast all our anxieties on him. All our questions, all our concerns. God will not fall off his throne when you start to ask him questions. He won't. When you start to share with God the problems that you have, he already knows, by the way. You don't have to tell him, so he understands. But the word of God says and encourages us, every problem we have, cast all our cares upon him, because he cares for you. The one that flung stars into space, the one created everything. He cares about you, every situation you find yourself in. The reason some of us sometimes are ill, the reason some of us find ourselves in a bad place, is because we don't cast our cares upon him and trust him. We don't think he can deal with our problems. And so we become anxious. We become so anxious that even the little things become massive mountains. And Peter says, to bring relief in your Christian life, cast every care upon him, because, can you finish it off? He cares for you. Isn't that an amazing message? God cares about everything that's happening in your life, the little things to the big things. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. Have we got that? We haven't got that one. Cast your cares on him because he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Peter said, we cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. And Peter gives us a key. Peter gives us a key to understand whatever comes our way in life, whatever happens, he cares for us. It's not a popular message. It certainly doesn't conform to the world's advice. In order for us to get a grasp on what true success is and how to obtain it, we need to tune out the world's messages. Do you remember the old radios you used to tune? Do you remember those, Godfrey? I didn't have one of those. You must be older than me. It's great to have Godfrey with us and his better half. It's great. Thank you for visiting us today. And we must book a time for you to come and preach for us. Again. You've really blessed us. Thank you. Remember those old radios you used to tune? You tune in the channel you want. I used to have one in my bedroom, listening to stuff. I want you to imagine you've got one of those at the moment and all you're hearing is the world's message to you. To be successful doesn't matter about everybody else. That's all you're hearing. I want you to take that knob and I want you to start to turn it so it goes out of tune. We're going to start to tune into that channel, which is God's channel. It's not the God channel, it's God's channel. Please pray for that family. You may know what's happening or may not, but the enemy is wanting to bring all kinds of things with the people on the God channel, and he's not going to have his way. We're going to start to tune our little radio now. Start to tune into what God says and to listen to his voice. And each of us need to get our own radio. And each of us need to tune into what God is saying and tune out the world, whatever that is for us. If you're hearing a lot of the world stuff, you've got to find a way of tuning out and tuning into God's message for you. Charles Swindoll, great man of God. I love the stuff he writes. He says this, I'm nearly finished. He said, many Christians need to reorientate themselves. He said, you need to do this in three ways: through direction, discipline, and discernment. So we'll try and sum up this sermon. First, we need direction so we can know to whom we should submit. We need direction to know to whom we should submit. Christians are not doormats. We do not lie down just to anybody that tells us we should do this, that, or the other. We keep the laws. We're law-abiding citizens, yes. We get our direction from the Word of God. We get our direction from godly servanthood leaders who teach us the Word of God. And that's where we take our direction from. We don't take the direction for many things, especially with morality and lifestyle, from the world. We are not to follow our own direction. We're to submit to trusty church leaders who model Christ. Peter says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We should follow people who guide us by the light of God's word, not their own suggestions and opinions. I'm fed up of hearing people's opinions. It doesn't matter at the end of the day what people think. It only matters at the end of the day what this says. We can debate all kinds of things for hours, for days. This is the authority. This is what God says. This is our direction. Psalm 119, verse 105, describes the word of God as a lamp. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Church, you need to follow the official leadership in the church. There is an order, and I'm not saying this because we have a problem, because I don't know that we have a problem. But if you choose to go in an opposite direction from the way the church leadership is telling you, you find yourself going in the wrong direction quite often. Now, it's possible that church leaders can be wrong. It is possible. You know that because I'm your pastor. But it's important that we submit ourselves to them. Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as one who must give an account. Let me say to you, our church leaders here have to give an account. Church leaders have to give an account to me. I have to give an account to them. But most of all, those in leadership have to give an account to God. And every one of them will stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ one day and give an account for being a leader at this church. That is scary. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. Do you want the pastor's work to be a joy and not be a burden? Because you know, if it's a burden and it becomes a burden, I can become grumpy. And it's not a joyful place to be. You were never like that, were you? So, direction. We need discipline to restrain our pride. Pride often rears its ugly head. The more successful we get, the more temptations there'll be. Why people want to be successful in life and have a great job with loads of people working. I had loads of people working for me. They were a pain in the neck. But the more successful you can be, the more temptations there are. Because the devil will say, come this way. Don't go that way anymore. You're the boss now. You can do what you like. You can behave how you want. It doesn't matter if you let that little thing go. Because that little thing doesn't really mean much, does it? And that little thing becomes a big thing. Temptations become bigger, harder. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Would you write this scripture down? This week, would you meditate on it? And would you underline these words, train yourself to be godly. Would you write that down for me? In your Bible, you are allowed to write in your Bible. God will not strike you from heaven if you write on his holy word. Train yourself to be godly. Do you want to become more like Christ? Quickly, train yourself. Find ways of becoming more godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I want to say to you, pride will never sit down quietly. It will keep trying to raise its head, creep like a little demon, a little gremlin, trying to come up all the time. What we have to do is push it down. We have to tell it its place. We have to train ourselves to be godly and put those things like pride in their proper place, which is under our feet. It needs strong discipline to keep it in place. Third thing, we need discernment to spot the beginning of anxiety. There are things in this world that are scary. We turn on television, we read our newspaper, we tune into the world, and sometimes it is a scary place to be. When we were in Kuala Lumpur, going to celebrate the wedding, there was a bomb that went off in Kuala Lumpur. It's a scary place to be. You know, we turn on the news, we think about all the things that are happening. But when we start to become anxious, or if somebody spots that in your life, what we need to do, remember, is deal with this before it begins to creep in. Otherwise, it will soon take hold of our life and it will paralyze us. Do you know there are many Christians that I know that are paralyzed today? It's terrible to see them. There are people today that are paralyzed by fear and anxieties, because it was a little anxiety that's becoming a big anxiety. And what really is a little hill has now become a mountain. As soon as you start to see those in your life, cast your cares upon him. God's success in life is through submission to mature believers. It's through humility before God and turning our cares and anxieties over to him. Then we can experience this message of relief that Peter talks about. Vicky, could you just come and be a Ben for me and tinkle on the piano? We're going to have a quick time of ministry now. And all of you that are on the ministry team, you can be available now. Godfrey and your wife, if you'd like to be available. And any of the pastors, the leadership wives, family, you're here. They'll come and pray for you right now. When you close your eyes, I want you to take time to consider where you are right now. Considering the attire that you wear, are you wearing the boss's suit or are you wearing the servant's apron today? What are you wearing? It's a reflection of your heart right now. See, the Bible says where a man's heart is, that's where his treasure is. Where your heart is right now is where your treasure is. That's where it is. There's nothing wrong with making money. It's okay to make money. It's nothing wrong with being prosperous. It's nothing wrong with being successful. In fact, I think God wants us to be successful. He wants us to have finance. He wants us to enjoy life. But we need to follow what Peter says today. And the result will be this, that the Lord will bless us and our families. Some of you have got major anxieties about family members. As I was praying about this morning, I felt I could see people that were anxious about their family. It's become such a pain to you. A pain that is deep within and it's hurting you. God wants you to give them over to him today. I'm going to say to you now, if God's spoken to you in any way today, if there's pride, if there's things in your life, if there's anxiety, if there's areas where you need to trust God more, I just want to ask you to come. We're going to pray for you very quickly. God doesn't need to spend a long time on us. God can do something in a moment. And that's what I believe he wants to do. It's not a long drawn out thing. So if you're anxious, if you're not wearing the right attire, you know what I mean by being clothed in humility. This is not to embarrass you. This is to help you. I want you to come straight away. And we're going to have people to come and pray for you. So all the leaders, the wives, anybody on the leadership team, I want you to come and you want you to embrace these people and you can come and stand here, please. And we're just going to pray for you. Come very quickly. This is not to embarrass you. This is just to release you and to help you. While they're praying for you, I want to invite anybody here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ to give their life to him today. You've tried it yourself. You've done anything you can to try and be successful and to be happy and to be at peace in your life. I want to say to you now, you never will. You'll never achieve what you want because it will never, ever be good enough for you, ever. Because there'll always be more that you look for and it'll be like a massive hole in your life and you'll be unhappy. You'll never, ever be happy without Jesus. So what I want to say to you today is if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. With everybody else with your eyes closed, if that is you today, I'm not going to embarrass you at all in any way. I'm just going to pray for you. If you would like to give your life to Jesus, I want you to look at me and to raise your hand so that I can see your hand. This is an opportunity for you today. Thank you, Lord. That's time looking around now. Lord, we pray for those amongst us that, Lord, you're speaking to right now. And Lord, your word speaks to all of us in many ways. But Lord, where there is a deepness that we need, we pray, Lord, for you to come and fill it, to make us well, to heal our bodies, our minds, our souls. Set us free, Lord, that we may be set apart for you today. In Jesus' name. Okay, church, if you'd like to look this way, take your eyes off from the people that have been prayed, that's great. Because we're just going to allow God just to minister to them. In a minute, we're going to celebrate with our final song. We're going to thank the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. And we're going to lay, if you like, a symbolic stone here today, which is an Ebenezer stone. Does anybody know what an Ebenezer stone is? An Ebenezer stone is, thus far the Lord has helped me. And I want you to symbolically see a stone placed on our journey where God has taken us. And we're going to thank him for that. Please stay for coffee and cake afterwards. And let's this week give God all the praise and all the glory. And in everything we do, bring glory to him. Thank you, Roger, again for travelling 2.5 hours to see us and for blessing us. Thank you, church, for your faithfulness and your goodness. Isn't our God good? He is so good. And if God is for us, I didn't hear that. If God is for us, the enemy may try, but God is for us. Please never forget, God is for you and he loves you. So we're going to sing, Vicky. You deserve the glory. How about that? Let's stand. And then when we're finished, we're going to go into this room and have refreshments afterwards. Thank you.